God never fails to do what he needs to do with any of us. And sometimes you're going to get a press in your spirit to do certain things. Please be obedient to the very best of your ability. Obey. Carry out the commission that he gives you, no matter what it may seem or feel. And please, let's just say, sometimes you don't realize how important what your obedience will cause you to learn. And back in the middle 80s, the Lord began to deal with me about writing things down and keeping a record of what I got and when I got it and who gave it and whatever. Now, how many know the Holy Spirit knows all those things? Well, there was a prophetic word given to me through Peggy, I don't know, 10 days ago or whatever, about I was going to be looking at old things and there would be a message in the old and it would be new again. Well, I've been going over that little pad. It's probably got about 50 pages. And it's got notes from 1985, 86, and the beginning of 87. Different meetings, different conferences I went to, etc. But the most important was the word of knowledge that came and a vision that I had. A vision that was so outstanding. It was so awesome. And I wrote the whole vision down. But if I didn't write it down, it wouldn't be new again. Am I making any sense? Now, that's many years ago, but the details of the vision, because that's not usually my strong point. Visions are not where I excel. I excel more with the hearing than I do with the visual. But they do come. They're, let's say, less often. But I think sometimes we underestimate God and we kind of short-circuit our own future. Because what we're doing is we're not paying attention. How many of you have got a driver's license? Did you pass a test? Did you study the book? Did you write down the answers? Did a person literally take you through your paces to find out if you were okay? If we do this with the world, why don't we do it with God? What are we doing? We have more attention to a state police person than we do to the creator of the universe. That's pretty yucky when you think of it. And I tell you, I still deal with unbelief. I'm not confessing a sin. I'm just telling you. I still deal with it. This afternoon, I was in the realm of the Spirit for about an hour and a half, and I came out of it, and I heard Isaiah 28:9. So I went to Isaiah 28:9. I'm going to give it to you because that's what he showed me. Who is it he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? The children weaned from their milk, to those just taken from the breast. Who is he talking to? He's talking to believers. For it is due and due and due. Rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here and a little there. Very well then. With foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to his people. Did you hear that? That was prophesied through Isaiah, and it was prophesied, and it came to pass in my life in 1977. What if this guy wouldn't have written it down? Why would it be important for him to write it down? Because I needed it. To whom he said, verse 12, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. And this is a place of repose, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here and a little there, so that they will go and fall backward. How many of you have ever fallen under the power of God? You know what it's like. Isaiah prophesied it. People still laugh because they say, ha, they're drunk. They laughed in the book of Acts. They're drunk. So that they will go and fall backwards, be injured and snared and captured. Ah, two levels, right? Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. Now we're getting specific. You boast, we have entered into a covenant with death. With the grave, we have made an agreement. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us. For we have made a lie our refuge, and falsehood our hiding place. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, and water will overflow your hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with the grave will not stand. And it goes on. Why am I giving that to you? Because I didn't know what it was trying to tell me. But I did read it. And then I was pressed of the Lord to listen to a DVD. As I'm listening to the DVD, I'm overwhelmed that I am not falling under the power of God, because normally when I listen to this particular teacher, that's usually what happens. I usually go off somewhere. I've yet to listen to one of those, except for today, and not lose the whole ball game. This day, for an hour and a half, I was able to listen and not lose it. So that was a great, great, great awakening. But three quarters of the way through the DVD, here's the teacher, and he quotes Isaiah 28. The covenant with death has been annulled. Why? And you heard it. Incorruption preceded immortality. Incorruption was really the fullness of Christ. Totally unable to stay dead. Why? Because he sinned not. He was the tree of life that laid down on that cross, which represented death, and he let himself die so that what? Death could be annulled. So who canceled this agreement that the Jews made along with all the ancestors, all the way back to Adam? Remember, dust thou art and dust thou shalt return? I'm not returning, because I now plan to go to the grave. Because the covenant with death has been. And who carried that victory? Jesus did. Okay, so you can make your plans to die if you want, to get out of your problems. Or you can make your plans to live. You say, well, it's never been done before. Ah, I got news for you. Anybody remember Elijah? Did he pass through the grave? What covenant did he operate under? You catching on? God wants a people that are going to be so full of life that when death comes to visit, he'll run the other way. You are going to be so filled with righteousness, and you're going to be so sure of yourself that even when it comes to visit, it will shake and leave. And then when you get to 120, you'll be able to say, well, you know what? Moses, move over. I'm not planning on dying. Because the third day is the day of life, not the day of death. Everything that was in the garden, corrupted, will be what? Restored and recreated to perfection. Why? Because Jesus came 2 days ago. Yes or no? 2 days ago? Yeah. With God, 1,000 years is as 1 day. You can check Psalm 102. You can check 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death, Jesus already took care of it. 2 Kings 2:9. You see, many other scriptures verify. But I do believe that everybody that I talk to on the majority of the church only have one picture of the Lord. He's on the cross, and he's still there. I remember when the Holy Spirit filled me that one of the first things that I did was to get rid of a few crosses in my house. And I put the resurrected Lord on there, but he was still on the cross. But traditions of men want Jesus as a memory. He's usually blonde and blue-eyed. And sometimes resurrected. But I'm trying to give you a new picture. One that's fresh out of the tomb. Visiting with you. Walking through walls. Sitting with you and having lunch and breaking bread when you least expect it. And he'll explain to you what those little scars in his hands are and the ones in his feet. That's what I'm asking him to do for you. Reveal himself as the resurrected Lord. The one that conquered death and annulled it. Prophesied by Isaiah. Fulfilled by Jesus Christ. The last enemy to be conquered is death. 1992. The Lord opened a door that I would be ministering to the full gospel convention in Canada. And the Lord gave me a message. And I knew I was going to get slaughtered. Because it was Romans 2:7. A couple thousand people. And I shared with them that they had a covenant with death and it was time to cut it out. And when that word came out of my mouth, there was about 7 screaming people. The shrieks were so incredible that it would actually rip your skin. That was my message to my native country. Because God wouldn't leave me alone. Romans 2:7 says to seek after life and life to the fullest and stop catering to death as an escape. You say, why are you telling me that now? Because I'm tired of people choosing to die instead of living. I'm tired of watching people give up their life because they refuse the study to make themselves approved. Don't take my word for it. The Bible's full of those promises. Oh, well, I can take a few pills and all my problems will be over. Have a great time. I had one person in my house a few weeks back, or actually within the past 2 weeks, told me that they could take a gun and end it all. What is that? That's a covenant with death. Yeah. In my own house, I heard it. And I thought, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Why? Oh, if the pain gets too great, I got a solution. If the pain gets too great, I'll end it all. For 17 years, my mother tried to commit suicide. For 17 years, she didn't succeed because intercession was going on. In and out of mental institutions and drugs of all types, with no solution, until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he set her free. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that the covenant of death can be broken. Your hopelessness can be changed into resurrection power. Because the one who laid down on that tree to let himself die for you and me gave us life and resurrection. It's time that you wake up and you say, I want to live. And I want to live to the fullest. Not part-time, not for a few weeks, not for a few months. Tell your neighbor, I'm making a new plan tonight. I'm going to live. I'm going to outfox the fox. Because resurrection life is right inside of me. And he's going to bubble over. And death will take a hike. Amen? Why? Because it's time. It's time. At the end of that conference, myself, my brother, his wife, and a team that had come from Massachusetts, who had driven up there, we finished praying for the saints at 3:30 in the morning. The dinner was at 7 p.m. But we finished praying for the saints at 3:30 in the morning. Because the covenant of death had been exposed. I was scheduled to be teaching at the morning session. And they canceled me because they couldn't handle the truth. The leaders could not handle the truth. 2 weeks ago, Ron, who visited with us for the feast, was honored to give the same message, and now it's accepted. Why? Why? A seed goes into the ground. God brings his sunshine and God brings his rain. And it grows. When I came home from that meeting, I called my friend, my spiritual father, Royal Cronquist, up in Spokane, Washington. And I told him what the Lord had done, and we both wept. Today he's with the Lord. I'm sure he's celebrating. Because you see, if it wouldn't have been for him, I would have never known that I had a covenant with that spirit. But he exposed it for me. Why is this church different? Because it will not tolerate lies. We had a beautiful young lady that came to visit last week and had a dream. And in the dream, there was a deceiver that came in with a deceptive message. And in the dream, I told the deceiver to leave. What does that say? It says it's time to expose the darkness and it's time to welcome in the light. Would you close your eyes, please? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Say, tonight. This is a new day. And I'm telling you up front, Lord. I'm choosing life. And life to the fullest. Any covenant with death or escapism that has entered my heart, I want it exposed. And I want to break it because I want to live the fullness of life that God has already paid for by Jesus Christ dying on that tree. He didn't have to. He did it for me. And he did it for anyone who chooses life. And tonight, I choose life. In Jesus' name. May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel continue to bless you as you go forth in obedience, as you wait upon him to confirm this message to you, so that you'll know that you'll know that you'll know that he is life. And he's fully alive in you. And whatever our God has to do inside of us for this body to be regenerating itself consistently, God will do it.